Welcome to another edition of Give an Ovation, the restaurant guest experience podcast, where I talk to industry experts to get their strategies and tactics you can use to create a five-star guest experience. This podcast is sponsored by Ovation, a two-question SMS-based real-time guest feedback platform that helps restaurants measure and build their guest experience. Learn more at ovationup.com. And today, I am so excited, if you can't tell by my especially ecstatic introduction, I am here with the one and only Sam Okus. Now, I wanted to have him on because he is an award-winning editorial director of Informa's Restaurant and Food Group, which publishes the nation's restaurant news, restaurant hospitality, supermarket news, and food management. And just overall, he's got a great podcast. And just overall, a guy who is in the freaking know. Sam, thanks for coming on the podcast, man.
No, thanks for having me, Zach. I love the energy. It's getting me amped up. I like this.
Well, Sam, tell me, like, what's the scuttlebutt, man? Tell me about what's going on. What's exciting you in the industry? What's worrying you in the industry? I mean, you get a little taste of, you have like a buffet of news. You know, what should we avoid and what should we try?
Well, first off, I feel like we're going to talk a lot about children in this conversation, because I know you have four young children. I have two young children. And so when you say scuttlebutt, I'm like thinking about the Little Mermaid all of a sudden. So that song has been playing in my house for months since that movie came out. So
yeah.
Now should we just talk about Disney instead of the restaurant industry?
Oh, my goodness. That's right. I know. A lot safer than politics. Or maybe
that's
not.
That's right.
I don't know.
Nah, maybe not. Not with Disney. So, yeah. I mean, look, restaurant industry... broadly speaking, 30,000 foot viewpoint, I'm feeling a lot better than I was feeling 2 years ago. You know, I don't know when this publishes, but we're getting ready to head to Palm Springs for our create event. And we've done that the last 3 years. And 2 years ago, mind you, just 2 years ago, we were worried that nobody was going to show up because there was a Delta or whatever surge of COVID and people were backing out. And it was a scary time. And that was just for an event, for a conference, right? I mean, the industry still 2 years ago was just in the thick of what's the next regulation that's going to come around. Yeah. What's the next expectation from the customer? What am I allowed to say? What can't I say? It was so weird. And I just say that because I'm like, that was only 2 years ago. So two years later, we're in a future where it's not perfect. There's still a lot of challenges, but I just love the optimism. I love the potential. I love that, you know, when I go to restaurant conferences, I don't have to talk about, you know, cleanliness and food safety, though they are very important, but we're talking about real potential in technology, real potential in service models and those kinds of things. And so that's, I mean, you know, I could go any direction from there, but I'll broadly will say I feel very good about the industry these days.
And I'm excited for Create. I know this year we found out about it a little bit too late, but we actually knocked off a few shows of our plan for next year, and we added Create to it because we've heard so many great things. And you're getting a lot of great people there. I think this 30,000 foot view looking at this industry, so you feel optimistic. What are some things that are concerning to you?
Concerning, where do I begin? There are always concerning things for the restaurant industry. I mean, of course, labor is still concerning, but I've
been hearing less about that, Sam.
Exactly.
Why is that?
Well, you know, it's funny because we have a session at Create we're going to do on operational excellence. And when I brought the panel together to talk to them about some talking points, I was like, yeah, labor, we should probably talk about labor. And all the panelists were like, we're good. Like, I mean, for one, they've probably talked too much about labor, but for the other, labor has gotten much better. It's not as volatile as it was. Recruitment and retention is not quite as difficult as certainly 2 years ago and even a year ago. And I think part of that might be because the industry has figured out how to, you know, pay your employees better, double down on incentives, invest in your team beyond the financial element of it. So that was part of it. But also, you know, it's just in general, a lot of the efficiencies I think brought about in the restaurant industry recently using technology and other methods have made the restaurant job less demanding. And now restaurants can go out there and show their, you know, potential employees, hey, you're going to get paid well, because, you know, that's kind of a mandate now that restaurants need to pay well. But also, this is not as difficult as it used to be. You know, we're automating a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
We need you to basically press this button, push that button, pull down this lever, serve the thing over the counter, and you're going to make $15 an hour. So it's a more appealing proposition than I think it's been in years past. And that has brought, you know, employees back to the industry. Of course, economic conditions, if you look at the macroeconomic conditions, there's also a reason that, you know, the market is just a little bit more robust than it has been in the past. But I do think restaurants are just an appealing place to work once again.
Yeah. And I think about even some of our customers where they've outsourced the entire guest communication to us, right? So mm-hmm. their employees are literally in their job, and their job is to make food and deal with the customers in store. There's no phones. There's no emails they have to answer. There's no angry customers that are, you know, calling in. Like, all that is handled externally. And I think you're right. Like, we have seen restaurants adapt, which we do so well, but adapt to that new environment and the new fact that you're not getting the same help that you used to. So instead of fighting it, let's just find ways to fix it. Let's have technology do some of the things. Let's outsource some of the things that used to be essential, but now are optional, right?
Yeah, and hopefully the best players are also recognizing that, you know, instead of saying, okay, we'll replace our people with these tools that make this thing easier or whatever, that they're recognizing, okay, that opens up our ability to redeploy our labor. It opens up our ability to invest in hospitality, especially, right? So if you have, you know, some young employees who don't need to push that button as much as they used to, can they be the smiling face to your customers and welcome those people in to create a warmer, more hospitable experience?
Yeah, because what we find is, like, when you're in person, you want to feel seen. When you're digital, you want to feel heard. And so the benefit is that you can't feel seen if people are, like, in the back on their computer doing stuff. But then again, to feel heard, you also don't have to have, like, a phone call with every single guest who has an issue. So I think that's an interesting point. So so I love how the restaurant industry is pivoting with labor. Anything else that you're seeing that's like, oh no, like the shrimp might be bad, you know? In this buffet of news.
I was going to say, should we start with the shrimp? I don't know. The availability of real estate is a real issue. Of course, cost of, you know, building cost and cost of goods. I mean, that all of those things continue to be a pretty tricky thing for the industry today. I mean, nobody wants to raise their prices anymore. You know, after 2 years of inflation, prices up 15% on average. You know, nobody wants to keep pushing that and figuring out what's the breaking point for customers. Yeah. unfortunately, we are starting to see what the breaking point for customers is. And it's not just the price increases, it's those fees. So this has been, you know, a topic of conversation a lot in the past couple of weeks, which is, you know, fee fatigue, as we're calling it. And that is that, there's a 10 to 15% increase in the prices that I'm typically paying. But now also there is this random fee that's tacked on for whatever reason. Of course, the third party delivery fees that are added on there. And of course, asking for a tip. I've told the story a couple times, so forgive me for anybody who's listening to this and has heard the story already. But I was traveling with my family a month ago, and we were flying through Newark. We had a layover at Newark, and our kids were hungry. We needed to feed them. We were looking for snacks because, of course, kids don't eat regular food like normal people. Mm-hmm. And we stopped at this unstaffed corner market in the Newark airport. Again, no employees.
No.
It was grab
no,
whatever you
Sam,
need.
Sam, don't tell me. Don't
you know
tell
what's
me.
Coming.
Oh,
you know
no.
what's coming.
Oh.
Grab whatever we need and scan no. it at the kiosk. We did. And it asks us if we want to tip 20%.
No
and
way.
By the way, in the Newark airport, snacks, just, you know, three or four snacks for us, $70, because it's an airport. So they're already upcharging. But then they had the gall to ask if I wanted a tip. And I understand, you know, being in my position in the industry, I understand what this is all about. And I was still livid. I'm like, how dare they think that an experience in which there was no service that I should have to tip? And it's just illustrative of what's going on across the country right now, which is that all of these things come together to make a what could have been a $10 price point now suddenly a $18, $19, $20 price point. And that is, you know, really frustrating the guest. But unfortunately, I feel like it's also a cycle that restaurateurs are not sure how to get. They're not doing these things maliciously, right? They want to solve for this for their customers because they know they've got to have a value proposition in order for their guests to come in. So I do think that is a big part of the conversation right now is just figuring out all of the various costs they have to deal with, inflation they have to deal with, finding the right price point they have to deal with, but then layer on these services they're subscribing to and whatever it might be that tax on some fees, it's getting out of hand. And I think that's a big conversation that has to happen right now.
Interesting. And it kind of seems opposing to the first topic of employees, right? And the service labor, right? Because like all of these things have enabled us to find a good standing with the employees, but now it's a bad standing with the customer. And, you know, Jimmy Frischlin, I was recently with him, and one of the things that he taught me, I didn't know this was the case, but TIPS is actually an acronym. I didn't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
So apparently, according to Jimmy, TIPS stands for to ensure proper service.
And, interesting. Huh.
And so I thought that was kind of interesting when, you know, you look at to ensure proper service, what does proper service mean? Right.
Yeah.
I am like, you were paying for a sandwich and some chocolate milk. Right. And, you know, it's $70. Now look, I grew up 15 minutes outside of EWR, right? Like, so I know my people there, and I'm telling you that there's a lot of Italians, a lot of mafiosa people who are, you know, taking some of that $70. So it increases the cost, but you can't do that. Like you can't do that in the restaurant, and you know, you have hostages in airports, but you have choice when you're, right, when you leave the confines of an airport. And you have to have that hand to hand combat with them, and you have to make sure that to your point that we are producing a service that goes above and beyond what we're expecting, because otherwise they can go so many other places. It's the switching costs are so easy, Sam, right?
Yeah. Well, it's such a great point too about that proper service. What's the definition? And maybe that conversation starts here, Zach. Maybe we're going to start something and we need to all have an industry sit down and figure this out. Because this started with, you know, a lot of these POS companies like Square 10 years ago, when, you know, you put your card in yourself and they swiveled the thing around and you had to decide in front of the person who I might be tipping, do I want to add a 20% tip? So suddenly counter service became an environment in which a tip might be expected. That was a huge change, right? Because prior to that, it was only table service, waiters and waitresses that you would tip. You never tipped in McDonald's and Wendy's and Taco Bell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so suddenly with the advent of these POS systems that were inviting you to tip, I think it's thrown all of this into confusion. I mean, I myself, when I do these experiences, I have a moment of, am I a cheapskate if I don't tip this person who simply handed the bag over the counter? And that's, again, blow that out to the entire U.S. populace who is dining at restaurants. And that is something they're wondering. And by the way, the fact that they're feeling that, and this gets back to what I think we'll be talking about, which is just the broader experience of things. The fact that a customer is experiencing that internally is already setting that experience back. It's already creating kind of a bad experience that they're like, this restaurant wants me to tip for handing me their food.
Well, like, for example, there's a ice cream place that I go to all the time because I'm hyper allergic to milk, and they serve vegan ice cream, and it isn't disgusting, right? And so if ever I want ice cream, you know, and I used to love ice cream. I wasn't allergic as a kid. Actually, my first job was at Friendly's, and I would, you know, milkshakes all day, every day. And but what they do is they have plexiglass barrier still. So I order, and then here's the awkward thing. They don't flip it around. and say, oh, fill it out. They flip it around and say, how much would you like to tip? Because you can't touch it yourself. So you have to tell them through the plexiglass with everyone behind you hearing how much you want to tip. And every time I go, I'm like, it's so good. But there have been so many times I haven't gone because I'm like, I just don't want to deal with that today. Right.
And isn't that insane? Like, listen,
we're scooping my ice cream.
You just explained how they lost a customer. I mean, that's what blows my mind is, and maybe they don't know this, but like the customer should never feel awkward in your restaurant. That yes. They should never feel put in this weird position of deciding, yes. Am I a cheapskate? Is everybody behind me in line going to think I'm a cheapskate? You know, now it's different if they see, would you like to donate $1 to No Kid Hungry or something like, yes, did everybody behind me hear that? I just donated to charity, you know, but yeah,
it's like
this
a panda,
like,
right? It's like, thank you. Right.
Right.
And I think about like, I ate at a restaurant last night and we split the bill. And so the server came up with the toast handheld and we each paid and then we paid and then it like had a thumbs up, thumbs down right on the screen. And the server's just kind of like standing there. And I'm like, and she goes, sorry, I know that's really awkward. And I like, I appreciated her acknowledging it, but the fact that she had to like bring it up is something kind of weird. And I know,
yeah.
And we are just diving in. We have so much, we don't have much time left, but I do want to ask about, let's just ask one of these questions. Cause
sure.
I want to hear about what's the most important aspect of guest experience. Since that's kind of like where the road that we're going down right now.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about that, the way I would describe it is sort of the impression of value, because I feel like, you know, once upon a time when you said value, you were sort of explicitly referring to price point and, you know, sort of bang for your buck. And I feel like more and more the concept of value is getting blown out to guest experience. And so for me, when I think about, you know, the experience that I have in a restaurant, that's the diversification of the restaurant experience is insane, right? Like that it's every restaurant you go into, there's sort of a different experience that you get, not just from vibe and ambiance, which is always what, you know, different from restaurants, but even just how you order, how I sit myself, or do you sit me, or where, all of that is fracturing so that restaurants are all very distinct and unique in the service and the experience that they're providing. And in that, you have to provide value because, again, as an example, me as a father of young children, everything we do is determined by our kids. And that includes not only what kind of food are we going to go get, but do we sit down? And once we sit down, what activities do they have? And how do I order? And if I'm standing in line and my kids are clinging to both of my legs, and then they're trying to pull me in this direction, trying to talk to me while the person is taking my order, all of these things factor into my experience at the restaurant. Now, the restaurant cannot control the fact that I have two young kids who are constantly trying to get my attention. However, what they can control is empowering me in this experience. And, you know, I can choose how I want to order. I can choose whether or not I sit down. Yeah. I can choose whether I order ahead. Of course, if I eat off premises. And so for me, when I walk away from a restaurant experience, my impression of value is not what I paid, but it's what kind of experience did I just have? And I could pay $50 at this restaurant and $50 at this restaurant and have a totally different impression of the value I got, not based on the quality of the food, but around the broader experience that I had.
I love that phrase, impression of value, because at the end of the day, and this is something that's so interesting to realize, is that reality doesn't matter. Reality doesn't matter, Sam. What matters is how people perceive that reality, how they, you know, the you know, whether or not somebody thought, you know, two people waiting in the same line, the same person, by the way, waiting in the same line on different days, and there's the same exact amount of time, one person may feel like, I waited forever. And the other person may feel like, oh, that was like decent. Like that's what I expected. And so it's not about, and so we don't have to like necessarily pander to every single, you know, customer's request, but that, again, I love what you talked about, the optionality, right? Give them the choice to have the experience the way that they want it. Because sometimes I'm in the car and I just want my kid to have like a small fry. And so I want to go through the drive through. Other times my wife needs a break. And so I'll take the four kids to McDonald's so I could just get them out of the house for an hour. Right.
Yeah.
And so, but that's one of the things that, that McDonald's I think does well is they're not trying to pretend to be something they're not, but they're giving optionality to have people get the experience that they want.
And I realize that's frustrating for the restaurant operator, because when you think about this in the old times of 20 years ago, you know, it was like, if you're a counter service restaurant, here's exactly what that experience is going to look like. Yeah. And if you are a sit down full service restaurant, here's exactly what that's going to look like. It might be different price points, different quality menu, different, you know, quality in the service. But the expectation for the customer is basically this or that. These days, because the leverage is on the customer now, because the customer gets to choose and they have so many more options, it's like, you know, they're going to be more choosy. They're going to be more judgy and impressionable as to what kind of experience you are providing. So the unfortunate part for the restaurant operator is that they have to kind of meet every customer where they are. And to your point, every single customer is in a different place. But the good news is that the tools provided to doing that are more than, of course, ever before, that there are lots of tools that, you know, even the simple QR code, it gets a lot of hate, but I love the QR code. I love if that is sitting outside on the front door and my kids are still in the van and I'm like, oh, I can just scan the QR code on the door and do all of this from out here. I'm golden, right? You know, that's there are ways in which you can facilitate and empower that guest experience, the unique guest experience, and make them happy. But it's way more fractured than it used to be.
Love that. Sam, who's someone that deserves an ovation in the restaurant industry? Who's someone that we should be following? Because you know everybody.
I know a lot of people. It's a very fortunate position to be in. You know, I would say, well, Portillo's, that's not going to surprise anybody. I'm just always fascinated by everything Portillo's does. Mostly because Chick-fil-A gets a lot of attention, but don't forget, Portillo's actually makes more money per restaurant than Chick-fil-A, albeit at a much smaller scale. But I just love the excellence, commitment to excellence Portillo's has, and the fact that their restaurants are so busy, and yet they keep those things humming along without a hitch. So that's one.
Well, we love Dino. He's just, Dino. And the whole team, rock stars. Okay, yeah.
Totally.
Okay, so
totally.
Portillo's.
Jersey Mike's, their people program. You and I got a chance to meet Peter Cancrow in Florida a couple weeks back. I mean, they're just very authentic, very true to their people, and they provide for their people. And there's a reason that they're one of the fastest growing companies in America.
You threw some love to Jersey, because you know we had some hate on them.
I got plenty of hate there for Jersey too. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Last one I'll throw out though is Tupelo Honey. I think you know, if we want sort of an under the radar one, you know, they've got about 22-23 locations. And they're selfless plug. They're coming to join us at Create here in a few weeks, but they are brunch, Southern inspired kind of brunch concept out of Asheville, North Carolina. But again, their commitment to their people, I think, is so impressive. They do this thing that I learned about this year that I thought was so cool, which is they give all of their general managers a token to give to their customer, a customer of their choice, based on basically that customer's loyalty to the brand. And I think that's such a clever, it's a little detail. But if you think about providing a great experience in your restaurants, if you think about building customer loyalty, and you think about the relationship between your staff and your guest, that ability for somebody on your team to say, you know, hey, Joe, like you are really special to this restaurant. We love having you in here. Here's a special token of our gratitude. And that token gets them like free food and all kinds of things. I just thought that was worth shouting out, because I think these little details about how to improve that guest experience, they amount to big symbolism, certainly in the life of the guest.
Love that. And I got to check them out. Tupelo
Honey. Yeah. Tupelo out of North Carolina. Honey. I don't think they're in Utah. Sorry, Zach, but maybe soon enough.
Well, their website looks like they got some great food on there. So I'll check them
out. They're in Boise. They're not too far from you.
Oh, okay. Well, might be worth a drive. Well, Sam, if you don't know Sam, find him on LinkedIn. Sam Ochs, O-C-H-E-S. He's a rock star, posts awesome stuff, and check out his podcast. Where can they find your podcast, Sam?
Anywhere you listen to podcasts. It's called Takeaway with Sam Ochs.
Awesome. Well, for keeping up with the beat, today's ovation goes to you, Sam. Thanks for joining us and giving ovation.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks for joining us today. If you like this episode, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite place to listen. We're all about feedback here. Again, this episode was sponsored by Ovation, a two-question SMS-based actionable guest feedback platform built for multi-unit restaurants. If you'd like to learn how we can help you measure and create a better guest experience, visit us at ovationup.com.